And we are back. Definitely did not miss a week or anything. Life definitely didn't happen. Schedules definitely didn't not line up. And Tyler, no, this we're less than a week away from our last pod. Definitely, we did not miss. Right, Tyler?
Yeah, no, we keeping the stride going, man. Keeping the streak going. It's been nice to consistently post week to week.
Yeah, definitely keeping up with that goal.
I mean, we missed a week. We were busy. Life hits you sometimes. You got a million things to do. Schedules don't match up. Me and Thomas are very busy people. So, but we finally are able to sit down and talk a little ball.
Talk a little ball, but before we get started, Tyler, you got anything new going on in your life right now?
No, man, nothing really new. I didn't get that job you were talking about, so that's cool.
I'm sorry, buddy.
No, it's okay. I'm cool. No, life goes on. I mean, I'm chilling. Wasn't the right opportunity, so I'm just working and talking sports, man.
Yeah, and at least you've escaped that, what, like hour and a half commute that you would have had to make.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that would have been rough every day. Hour
Yeah.
and a half there, hour and a half back, 3 hours total. Yeah.
Yeah, so the silver lining a little bit, but you'll find where you want to go, definitely.
100%.
All right. Well, Tyler, it's a bit slow in the NFL world now. We did miss the schedule release. So that's the one big bugaboo of our missing a week.
Yeah.
But today we're going to talk about teams that we think improved the most this offseason, or teams that we like the improvements they made this offseason at least. And not to spoil everything for everybody, but I think both of us liked the moves that our favorite teams made this offseason. So, I mean, I'll let you get started right away. I know you are itching to talk about the Lions, so
Yeah, man,
let me hear.
that's my team, man. Like I as long as I've been a Lions fan, since I can remember anything, probably since I was like 4 years old, so right around 20 years, I would say this might be the best offseason that the Lions have ever had, just from a holistic standpoint and from like a all right, like let's take last year and let's build on it even more, which I mean NFC Championship game, it's kind of hard to build on that. But they lose CJ Gardner-Johnson. They lose Jonah Jackson. Honestly, the loss of CJ Gardner-Johnson I see as a positive, because if you look at his just if you look at advanced analytics, the dude was not as good as everyone wanted him to be, or as everyone like thought he would be when he first came in. It was almost better when he wasn't on the field. So that's nice. Jonah Jackson is a tough loss. But we bring in Kevin Zeitler to kind of help fill the offensive lineup after that loss. Probably going to move some pieces around there, which is fine. I think the type of players that we have on the line are athletic enough and able enough to move around if needed. Obviously, we've seen that last year with, injuries and everything too. So yeah, I mean, I'm talking Lions. It is a little biased. It also is unbiased because I see a lot of other people saying that the Lions had a great offseason. So like bringing in Carlton Davis, bringing in Marcus Davenport, bringing in DJ Reader, strengthening up that defense that was honestly pretty bad, pretty tough, pretty rough. It was, I mean, and I've talked about this before on the pod. I don't think Aaron Glenn has a bad defensive system. I think he has a good defensive system. I think he just needs the right type of players and the right type of playmakers on defense to kind of see his plan to fruition, I guess, if that makes sense. So just bolstering up that secondary, I think, was most important. Obviously, Carlton Davis. Amik Robertson, Terrion Arnold in the draft, Rake Straw in the draft. And then we go out, we get DJ Reader to help, fill the line, on the defensive side. I don't know, man. We re-sign JG, we re-sign Amon-Ra, we re-sign Penei. It's like those are our cornerstone pieces. Those are the guys that we've stuck with for so long now. So that's good, even from like the outside looking in. If you're an NFL player, you're like, hey, like if I get with these guys and, I'm meaningful to the team, like they take care of their guys, which is something that the Lions never have really had ever either. Like even I mean, we draft two generational talents. I think we know who I'm talking about, Barry and Calvin. And I mean, yeah, we paid them, but we never took care of them. We never made these type of moves. And it's so nice to see finally, like, okay, we're gonna pay our guys and we're gonna go get the team better. We're gonna fill the team around them to try and make this run, to try and do something that, you know, if you said probably 3 years ago, people would laugh at you. Like, the Lions are legitimate Super Bowl contenders, they'd be like, yeah, okay, what are you smoking? You know, so it's nice to see. Overall, I mean, we talked about this on the draft. I think they nailed the draft. I think they did great in the offseason. I think they added the right pieces. And now it's just on, you know, them to create a bond and to just become a contender. So we'll see. But that's my thoughts on the Lions offseason moves.
Yeah, and you know, I think that Brad Holmes is aware, like, the window is now.
Yes.
You know, I think so many NFL GMs, kind of their focus is how can we make sure the window is now and the next 5 years. That's not very realistic very often. I think that Brad Holmes is very aware that this window might be the next this season, next season, possibly the season after that, with just the pieces that they have. Obviously, you can extend that window as long as you hold on to those cornerstones and continue to supplement with the other guys. But with the roster, with the other key pieces that they have, this is that window. You know, I love what they did for that secondary, bringing double dipping in the draft, getting Terry and Arnold and Anis Reckistraw, bringing in Carlton Davis. I think obviously Cam Sutton originally was supposed to be part of their secondary plans. I mean, you know, he wasn't a cornerback one, but he was still decent enough to where he would have been a contributor had he not gotten into that legal situation.
A legal matter.
Yeah, so I think that kind of sticking to the plan, double dipping at corner in the draft, really, you know, I think they're in a significantly better situation secondary wise than they were last year.
And one quick piece too, you said like the windows now, and it is because, I mean, a key piece of this team last year is all of the rookies we drafted last year, I would say. Like, majority of them, first and second round picks, the four first and second round picks we had to in total, were such a key cornerstone for this team. And they only have rookie contracts for so long. And these are, in my eyes, these are generational talents. I mean, Gibbs is going to be a top end running back in this league eventually. Laporta, even last year, was a top four tight end in the league already, and he was a rookie. Campbell is a good linebacker. He's only going to get better. And then Brian Branch is great too on defense. So it's like, eventually these guys need to get paid.
Your take on Campbell. Campbell is good. Everyone else, they're gonna be so
Well,
good. They're gonna be so good. Campbell, he's all right, you know?
Campbell has more to show from last year. Like,
I
he
know.
was definitely on the up and up at the end of the year. But it's just, he's good. I meant he's good now.
Yeah, I
Only
know.
gonna
I
get
know.
better from here. But
Just
yeah, I mean,
compared to the other guys, Campbell's like the disappointment, even though he wasn't even
yes,
necessarily bad.
exactly. He's the disappointment, even though he really didn't disappoint.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. But yeah, I like this team. I think they're gonna be, you know, probably winning the NFC North again this year. I think they're gonna be making that push to try and make it to the Super Bowl. Health obviously is gonna be important, especially when Kevin Zeitler's getting older. You know, you don't know how his body's gonna hold up. Graham Glasgow also older. You know, having a healthy offensive line, I think we've seen, is so important to winning.
No, definitely.
So hopefully those guys can hold up. And then, yeah, I think my one concern is in that wide receiver room. You know, the only guy that's really proven as a, you know, starting commodity is Amon-Ra. You know, Jameson Williams obviously has all of the upside in the world to be a much better player. He
He's been
just
getting
hasn't.
a lot of talk this offseason saying he is a changed man. So we'll see, man. I'm waiting for the JMO breakout year still too, just like everyone else.
So we'll see with that. You know, he obviously has that long speed to be a really, you know, elite deep threat for a team. So we'll see. But then, you know, just behind that, Khalif Raymond, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Tre'Quan Smith, it doesn't really inspire the most awe in the world. But if you're expecting Jameson to take that step up, having Amon-Ra, Jameson, and Sam Laporta kind of, you look at that as your three receivers, even though
I think we need him to make that next step for our offense to really be what we want it to be. Just because we lost a couple pieces at wide receiver too this offseason, and we didn't fill it, unfortunately. So it's like we need him to take that next little step. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, this team is going to be competing for the NFC Championship, definitely. At least trying to make that push. So, yeah, I mean, I like the moves that the Lions made. I agree with you. I think that they're definitely an improved team over last year, definitely maximizing the window that they have. But we'll go with, you know, I think that the Steelers got better also, my team. And, you know, obviously their window is not now. I think that they're building towards having that window. But getting rid of Kenny Pickett is listen,
Kenny, that's your guy, man.
I hope Kenny has a wonderful career in the NFL. I hope that he has a good career. He was not the right quarterback for this team. And I don't know if the answer is Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, but immediately having those two compared to a quarterback room of Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, and, you know, Mason Rudolph, it's already a better quarterback room. You know, I hope that Fields flashes and pushes for that starting job, because honestly, I think that having the younger quarterback continuing to develop him is the better situation for Pittsburgh, especially if they can extend him this offseason. They didn't accept his fifth-year option, so that's kind of like extend him for at least one more year to, you know, right. You only have both of them on one-year contracts right now. So if you can extend Fields, you know, hey, we at least have something at quarterback next year, because
right.
Kyle Allen's not on a multi-year contract either. So if none of them resign, you're starting from scratch again at quarterback. So it's kind of important that at least someone can come back.
Really fast with the Steelers history too. It's like you guys are going to win 7, 8, 9 games and be like middle of the pack in the draft.
Mm-hmm. And you're not going to be bad enough to draft high. Yeah,
exactly.
So yeah, I mean, I like Wilson. I like Wilson enough to be a starter if needed. Like, he was a lot better for the Broncos last year than he was his first year with the Broncos. Mm-hmm. You know, he was definitely a starting caliber quarterback with the Broncos last year. So I like that move, especially because they're paying him vet minimum.
Right.
And that allowed them to go out and, you know, go sign guys like Patrick Queen, go sign a guy like Deshaun Elliott, you know, bring in, you know, Dante Jackson through a trade. Obviously, he's on the tail end of his career. But he still, you know, should at least provide starting corner play. You know, I think that they really focused on making this defense a lot better after last year. You know, they got rid of Levi Wallace as the other starting corner. Patrick Peterson isn't back. They replaced them with the guys like Dante Jackson, like Deshaun Elliott. You know, Cole Holcomb had that devastating knee injury. They needed to figure out, what are we going to do at linebacker? So they signed Patrick Queen. If Cole Holcomb comes back healthy, that's a really good linebacking room.
That's a nasty linebacker.
And, you know, just continuing to supplement that, they went through the draft and got Patrick Wilson. They, you know, they went out and got, what's his name? you know, on the offensive line, Troy Fatanu, Mason McCormick, Zach Frazier. You know, two of those guys are going to be starting next year. And the other, Mason McCormick, might end up starting next year because James Daniels is on the last year of his contract. You know, offensive line for the past 3 or 4 years has been a huge weakness for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And to have addressed that significantly through the draft is huge. It'll be interesting to see if Broderick Jones ends up switching to left tackle and Troy Fatanu switches to right. But then, yeah, I think that this team just got better objectively. I don't know if they're not going to be AFC championship pushers or anything. I think they're a compete for a playoff spot team.
Yeah,
but it's going to be a lot less. It's going to be a lot less, oh, we're only getting our hope at the end of the season, like the last couple years.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the last couple years, you guys are like, it's like the last 3 weeks, you're like, are we getting in or not? We need this, 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 this to happen for us to get in. right?
This is one of those situations where I think their roster is good enough to where they can by the end of the season, it's if we just take care of our own business, we win, we're in.
Secure a wild card spot, essentially, rather than having a million things to happen in your favor for you to get it.
Yeah. And, you know, like the Lions, the one real weakness I see on this team is wide receiver. You know, even like George Pickens is the only proven wide receiver on this roster. And even his production has mostly just been in flashes and spurts.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a lot because of the quarterback situation the last couple of years.
Fair.
But yeah, he hasn't had that consistent performance like you would want to see.
Right.
Van Jefferson is their wide receiver too, and then they went out and got Roman Wilson, who, yeah, he's a good wide receiver. He might be a Wolverine, but he's a good wide receiver. So yeah, I think that receiver is going to be the one true weakness for this team, which will be interesting to see how Wilson or Fields or whoever's in there kind of works with the weapons that Pittsburgh's providing them.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I like the moves that this team made. I think that they're going to compete for a playoff spot.
The positive thing is too, regarding wide receivers, is a lot like the Lions, I would say. We both have good running back rooms too.
Mm-hmm.
So like Najee's more of the ground and pound, and then Warren's even good in the receiving game too. I mean, he's good for explosive. I mean, you know, whatever, like he can take a check down and go 20, 30. I mean, score a touchdown. He's good at being explosive too. So that kind of helps as well, especially for like newer quarterbacks too, who might want to check down initially before they really like understand, especially with like rookie wide receivers coming in and new wide receivers too. So I think that's a good thing too for you guys, is like you can kind of rely on that for a little bit. I wouldn't say make it a focal point, but you know, if needed, can always go there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just, you know, obviously this team is not a Super Bowl team, especially in their division with the Bengals, Ravens, and Browns. The Browns might be the Browns, even though they snuck into the playoffs last year. I think that there's a chance that they might be the Browns and suck again with Deshaun Watson back at quarterback. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, the Bengals are going to be healthy. You know, the Ravens.
The AFC North is consistently like one of the best divisions.
Yeah. It's a rough division to be in, but
it's like majority of the time, all four teams are playoff contenders, which is crazy to think about.
And so many of the end of their schedule is division games.
I know. I was my roommate, also a Steelers fan. He was telling me, he's like, dude, we have to play them. It's 4 weeks in a row, is it not? You play every opponent.
It's like brutal. Like
that's
whoever created the NFL schedule this year hates Pittsburgh or something.
Yeah, you have the second strength of schedule, right, or something like that.
Yeah, it's rough.
Absurd. I mean, I feel bad, but yeah, I mean, maybe they get hot. Maybe they get hot.
Yeah, we got Mr. Unlimited under center, so we'll be fine.
Unlimited.
I think my cat is Lucy. Stop.
I was gonna say. What was I gonna say? Oh, being serious, I think the Patrick Queen signing was insane.
Yeah.
You guys were able to go out and get him is crazy. Like, your linebacking core is always usually pretty consistently good. But like that put you guys up a whole nother level, which I thought was almost impossible. But yeah, that's a great signing. And then I was gonna say, you got Justin Fields returning kicks, you're gonna be just fine.
He's not gonna return kicks. That was, we need headlines to write. He's not going to be returning kicks. They literally signed Cordarrelle Patterson. What other reason is there to sign Cordarrelle Patterson?
You're right. Yeah. All right. Is that all you got on the Steelers?
That's all I got on the Steelers, man. I mean, they're not going to be in the same boat as the Lions, where they're actually competing to try and make the Super Bowl. But, you know, they still got better. So.
No, yeah, for sure. I would agree. They definitely got better. They made a couple of good signings. I think they did well in the draft. I was gonna say, they did well in the drafts regarding the offensive line, because I know that has been a struggle for you recently. Because you continuously, I mean, we've done draft talks for a while now between us, consistently bring up addressing the offensive line.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's good that you finally had a draft where it's boring draft, but it's a good draft. So that's all that matters. But yeah, so moving away from our favorite teams, we also added another team that we thought did really well in the offseason. So I'm going to go with the Houston Texans as my choice. Obviously, playoff team. Got blown out by the Ravens. Like that game was not even fun at all.
That was a bit rough.
I thought I was excited for that game. I was like, man, this is gonna be a good game. And it was not fun to watch. It was just a blowout. But
yeah.
I think they did a good job. They picked up Danielle Hunter, which is like he was a big offseason piece. People were considering, if you were considering going D-line, you're thinking Danielle Hunter is a good choice. Consistently a good defensive lineman. I think that'll be good for them to add with like Will Anderson and other pieces of their defense. Getting Joe Mixon too, I think is a slight, I mean, Mixon's weird in my opinion. Like, he's good. I don't think he's great, but I think he's better than Devin Singletary at the end of the day. So that's an upgrade. The Texans got Diggs too, right?
Yeah, they trade for Diggs, yeah.
So they bolster their wide receiver room up even more. I mean, Tank Dell, Diggs, line. Who's the third?
Nico Collins.
Nico Collins, yeah, he's a dog. Sorry, no disrespect to Nico Collins. I just was blanking for a second. That's an insane wide receiver core right there alone. Mm-hmm. I mean, Diggs is obviously getting older. He's on the latter end of his career. But bringing in that veteran for those two young guys too. As long as, this is what I'll say, as long as he's not a diva, because he's known to be a diva, if he like kind of comes to the realization like, all right, I'm getting old, I'm not the best anymore, like taking over as a mentor, I mean, like, you know, whatever, showing him the ropes. Obviously, they're great wide receivers, but you can always improve your game. I think if he takes more of a traditional role like that and like, you know, shows him the way, could be insane. CJ Stroud is great. Hopefully he doesn't like get like a soft. I mean, sophomore slump is brought up a lot when we're talking about rookie quarterbacks going into their second year. Hopefully that's not the case, because I do like watching CJ Stroud. I think he's a dog, even though he played for Ohio State and I thought he was going to be a bust, I'll be honest, because no Ohio State quarterbacks are good.
Hey, Justin Fields is. Yeah, you're right.
Okay. Exactly. Anyways, they make a couple. I mean, I'm looking at names right here. I don't really know any. I see Jeff Okuda. I would say that's an okay addition, but the Lion fan in me doesn't. I mean, you know, he's
okay. He's fine.
He's a serviceable corner two, maybe. I mean, that's like a stretch, I feel like. But I just think like the Diggs addition, the Mixon addition, the Danielle Hunter addition, I think those are the biggest pieces. I mean, they add a couple pieces here and there. Like I've said, I really don't know who these people are.
You know, adding Foley Fonakasi is a good run stuffing defensive tackle.
Okay.
So I'll give you that. He's,
thank you,
maybe not as much of a pass rusher, but their run defense is going to be good.
Gotcha. And then it sounds like they did a decent job in the draft too. So, I mean, I think they did a good job, man. I think they're going to be a contender this year. I think they're going to be in the AFC Championship talks, trying to make that push for a Super Bowl as well, because I think they're there. I think if Stroud takes a next step and really, you know, develops fully all the way, I think they're a scary team in the AFC. And I'm excited to watch the Lions and them play this year, because they're scheduled to play each other. So that'll be a good game. I honestly think the Lions might lose that game, but that's just being unbiased. That's just being honest. So,
yeah. I mean, I think making that upgrade in the wide receiver room with Diggs, you know, they still have Robert Woods in the mix. They still got, you know, Noah Brown in the mix. They've maximized this offense for CJ Stroud,
right.
Which is huge. I think that if you're going to avoid giving him a sophomore slump, you go out and get those pieces.
Right.
Joe Mixon trading for him was a bit interesting, seeing as the Bengals were just going to cut him.
Right.
So why would you not just go sign him if he was going to be cut? I guess you can't necessarily guarantee you get him if he gets cut. But at the same time, he was making a decent chunk of change as a running back. So that was not a bad move. It's just, I wonder if you could have gotten him as a free agent for cheaper, but that's besides the point because they had that money to spend anyways. So it doesn't really matter. I think that the one question will be their defense. You know, at corner, Jeff Okuda is fine as a CB2, but he's not someone that you exactly want to be your CB2.
Right.
Derek Stingley obviously has been, you know, good. I think that he kind of gets pushed aside because he's in that same class as Sauce Gardner,
right,
where like he's been a good corner. It's just Sauce has just been so elite immediately.
Yeah.
But I think that this team is definitely a lot better than they were last year, even just if it's adding Stephon Diggs to the mix, adding Joe Mixon to the mix. I still do wonder if their offensive line has enough pieces. Kenyon Green has been a disappointment at guard so far in his
right.
career, so we'll see how that works out. But I don't have too much to add beyond what you've said. I think that the pieces that they have definitely put Stroud in the best position to succeed this year, even more so than he had last year. I like the moves that the Texans made this offseason too. Staying in that division, my other team that I was looking at is the Titans. Obviously, losing Derrick Henry is a huge blow. But at the same time, I think not that he's bad, but we've seen, you know, he's taken that step back as he's gotten older. He doesn't have the same explosiveness as he did, which, you know, wasn't a huge amount of explosiveness because, you know, he was a bigger back. He wasn't as fast, but he had that burst still to kind of just be a wrecking ball in there, which he still is. But obviously, as he's gotten older, more tread has been taken off those tires. He's not as dominant as he was just a few years ago. So losing him still hurts, but I don't think it's necessarily as bad as some people might think it is.
Right.
But I liked the moves they made. I think that they've really put Will Levis in a position where we're going to find out if you're the guy or not, which is exactly what they needed to do this year because, you know, frankly, not that the next year's quarterback class is great, but
right,
someone's going to emerge from that class inevitably. It always happens. Someone emerges as this is a guy who's going to be a first round pick, top five pick. If Will Levis proves that he's the guy, they won't be picking in that top five. If he doesn't prove to be the guy, they have every chance to just kind of tank the season away. I think Will Levis has been positioned with, you know, bringing in Tony Pollard. Obviously, he didn't have as great a season as Cowboys fans wanted him to have last year, but he's still a very good starting caliber running back. Calvin Ridley, maybe not the guy you want to be your wide receiver one, as he kind of showed in Jacksonville, but still a very good, reliable wide receiver that you can, you know, go to. Keeping DeAndre Hopkins in the mix, adding Tyler Boyd, I think that they gave him three very solid wide receivers to work with. It might not be we have this alpha guy, but we have a group of three guys who we know are going to, one of them is going to get open.
They can play receiver.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a group of three. And, you know, Treylon Burks, we'll see if he can take that step forward. They obviously traded AJ Brown and took him. We'll see. I don't necessarily think that it's completely screwed for Treylon Burks. They made a huge mistake trading AJ Brown just to go get Treylon Burks. Just having JC Latham at tackle, you know, we'll see. Yeah. I know that there were some people that are a little concerned about JC Latham as a starting tackle. I think that when you kind like his foot speed's a little slow, I understand that, but at the same time, like, you had to go out and get a tackle. Maybe JC Latham's not the answer long term, but I think he should at least be able to show you early on if he's gonna be your right starting tackle or not. And if he's not, you just go out and get another one. And then just some of the moves that they made, you know, bringing in L'Jarius Sneed, you know, really kind of fortifying that secondary, Tredobia Awuzie, you know, have just I think that the moves that they made, their defense isn't like I'm gonna fear this defense necessarily, but it's going to be reliable enough to where they can keep you in a game. You know, let's see how our offense performs. Let's let
Right.
our it's gonna be they're gonna complement each other. I don't think the offense is a strength. I don't think the defense is a strength. I think they're both going to rely on each other a lot to be able to win games. But I think it's a step in the right direction, especially after a difficult past few years. And we'll see if Mason Rudolph makes a push for the starting job. Apparently, that's been reported that Mason Rudolph might push Will Levis for the starting job. I don't see that happening at all.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I would not be surprised if Malik Willis ended up getting cut before the season started. That's
Wow. What
nothing
a fall
against,
off from Malik Willis, man.
you know, I think that Malik Willis, when he got drafted, it was very clear he was a guy who's a few years away from being NFL caliber quarterback.
Yeah.
And they threw him into the fire early on because he had a good preseason. They made him the primary backup, which was frankly just a mistake. He was not, you know, ready for NFL NFL defenses. So we'll see if he even makes the roster this year. But you know, I like what the Titans have done this offseason. I don't necessarily know if they're a playoff team this year,
Right.
but I think they're definitely going to be a team that is going to be maybe in that Steelers situation like they've
I was
always
just about to
been.
say,
But
mate, like in the
if
Steelers
we win
situation.
out and these teams lose, we'll
Yeah.
be a wild card team,
Yeah.
which is a step forward for them. So yeah, I like the moves that they made.
Yeah, I honestly I kind of like that they moved on from Derrick Henry just because like I feel like they're ever since Henry's been there and he's been obviously he's been Derrick Henry. He's phenomenal running back, but on the latter end of his career now, kind of as you said, slowing down essentially. I feel like there was always a sort of like reliancy on him from the Titans. So I think moving on from him and just being like, all right, handing Will Levis the keys to the offense and saying, go do this. They get Pollard, who obviously was let down for not only the Cowboys, but fantasy owners. You know who you are if you drafted him, unfortunate. But a guy that can kind of be, he's fine in the run game. He's decent in the pass game as well. Can also be a weapon out of the backfield. And then, like you said, Ridley is a good addition. L'Jarius Sneed is great, honestly, because I think like even if you had like a pretty bad defense, adding a lockdown corner one is going to get you stops no matter what. You will get stops. You'll get red zone stops. I mean, you'll get it's just it's a good addition. So like you said, like no one's going to fear the Titans defense, but like you're gonna they're going to be like, all right, they got L'Jarius on the other side. Like, we're gonna have to go to our other weapons if he's on the wide receiver one. You know, like we're gonna have to change the offense a little bit. We might have to work around him. So it's just like game planning for certain pieces on defense that, you know, for these top end guys like L'Jarius Sneed, who was, I mean, I would say the best corner in the NFL last year. So I mean, just advanced analytics wise, statistics wise. He was great. So, yeah, man. Titans made some pretty good moves. We'll see what they do. I do agree with the whole they're going to look like the Steelers of the past couple of years with the whole wild card situation. They'll probably just miss out on the playoffs because that's usually what happens. But we'll see.
Yeah. And I think we'll wrap it up by just talking about one team I think got worse this year. I know that, you know, obviously a lot of teams didn't make a whole lot of moves, like the Cowboys didn't do anything.
Yeah.
The Chargers made some interesting decisions, but I think we both of us went in other directions than that. So I'd like to hear yours first.
Yeah, so it's funny 'cause it's almost like how did this team get worse because they're so bad in the first place. But just from like a strictly off-season moves, the Panthers had a bad off-season, man. I mean, just strictly on defense, at least looking, you lose Brian Burns, who's phenomenal. And then you lose Jeremy Chinn too, who's been a good piece to your defense in the secondary, especially. He's a good, he's not, I would say he's a phenomenal safety, but he's like 6'3", 6'4". He's a good, he's athletic. I mean, he makes plays. He's a good safety. He's a good piece to their defense. And then Brian, I mean, like I said, Brian Burns is insane. A couple of like losses, like Hayden Hurst on offense is tough. He's just like a proven tight end. I feel like he's not great. He's not horrible. He's like right in the mix. But for an offense that was already so bad, it's like letting pieces walk like that. I mean, maybe I think they addressed that in the draft. So that might be kind of what their idea was. But, and then they add people like Clowney, who the fact he even still gets a job every year is insane to me, because I just feel like he's a non-factor at all times. And then like Deontay Johnson, I mean, we saw him last year, like maybe it's because he wanted out of Pitt, but like seeing his film last year and just like his lack of effort on the field as an NFL player is just kind of interesting. Plus, I mean, the guy doesn't know how to score touchdowns.
He's allergic to the end zone, I know.
Yeah, he's just interesting. He's a wide receiver two at best, I guess. Robert Hunt is a decent addition, but it's like they add Xavier Leggett in the draft, which I think is a good pickup, because I think anywhere in the first two rounds of the draft you take receiver, there's always that upside. But I don't think they did enough. Like, I just don't think they wanted to get better. They let their best pieces walk in free agency. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like it's almost as if any of the positive moves they made were only replacing or supplementing other spots where you lost all these other huge pieces.
They're overshadowed because, like, you're filling that spot, but you're taking Jadeveon Clowney and you're putting him where Brian Burns was. Like, that is
it's still a net loss.
So vastly out of place. It's like that doesn't do anything for you. It just makes you worse.
And you know, I don't think that they did enough to support Bryce Young. I think obviously he struggled as a rookie.
Right.
When you see someone struggle that much, you need to do everything you can to support him. You know, Deontay Johnson, really good route runner, allergic to the end zone, has some trouble with his hands at times. He's not a wide receiver one, and you're going to be relying on him like that. You know, obviously Adam Thielen's still in the mix, but I mean, he's not Minnesota Adam Thielen anymore. Right. You know, at tight end, obviously Hayden Hurst is not, you know, some world breaker at tight end.
Right, right.
Now you're relying on, you know, Tommy Tremble, who has done nothing in his career, or Jatavion Sanders, who there's a reason that he fell as far as he did.
Right.
You know, I just don't necessarily think that the moves that they made, they did the opposite of what the Texans did. The Texans maximized the support they could give to CJ Stroud.
Right.
The Panthers have kind of dragged their feet on bringing support for Bryce Young, which is a very interesting decision to make, seeing as you traded as much as you did to go up and get him.
Right.
And you want to find out if he's the guy within these next 2 years.
Right.
And the moves that they made, on paper, yes, their receiving room is better. On paper, yes, their offensive line is better. But it's not to the level of we actually went out and supported Bryce
like
Young.
How much better is it? And you're like, it's, you know, minuscule.
Yeah.
It's just like, sorry to interrupt really fast. It's just the tail of the tape with the Panthers, honestly. It's like they go out and they get this guy that they want to build around, and then they don't build around him.
Yeah.
It's mind-boggling. It's like, okay, we saw it with CMC. He was everything to the Panthers. Like, he was the reason they were even slightly successful in the first place, if you would even consider it that. And then they don't do anything to help him out. And now they draft Bryce Young and they don't do anything to help him out. It's just like, how can you continuously keep putting yourself in the same hole?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that any of the moves that they're going to be drafting at the top of the draft again next year. It's just, hopefully Bryce Young shows the flashes to hold on to his job, because, you know, frankly, the Panthers are not in a situation where they can just reset at QB again. They have so many holes that if you draft another quarterback, he's going to be just coming into
the same cycle. Yeah. Exactly.
So hopefully Bryce can take a step forward and prove, hey, you know, I'm the guy right now. for the next few little bit, but we'll see. But yeah, I think that a playoff team that got a lot worse. I always say the Panthers got worse, but they were already bad. This is a team that was good that got worse. The Buffalo Bills, man, you know, a lot of it was cap casualties, you know, losing Tre'Davious White, losing Jordan Poyer, losing, you know, obviously he trades Stephon Diggs because he was becoming, you know, he was a diva, he needed out, but that's still a loss. You also lose your other, you know, really good starting receiver in Gabe Davis.
Yep.
Those are huge losses, and what they did to replace them just isn't enough. Obviously, I love Keon Coleman. I think he's going to be a good wide receiver. He is not Stephon Diggs.
No.
You know, bringing in Curtis Samuel, also not Stephon Diggs. It's going to be very impossible to bring in a guy who's of Stephon Diggs's caliber early on. But, you know, I would have liked to see them make a push to move up in the draft to get, like, obviously I don't think the Bears would do this, but maybe you jump up and try and get the Romadunze piece. Yeah. You know, you're, again, this is your window. And it's shutting very fast because of the losses you've had to make.
Yep.
So the fact that you didn't try and make that push for these pieces is honestly insane to me. Von Miller's contract has really screwed things over for the Bills. You know, he's nowhere near what he was in Denver, and he's making a crap ton of money.
Yep.
And it's just, they can't keep anyone else around because
yep.
of that contract. So yeah, I just think the Bills, honestly, this year might miss the playoffs. Especially when you consider Aaron Rodgers is going to be healthy for the Jets next year. The Dolphins, obviously they lost a lot of pieces on defense, but that offense is still going to be electric.
Yep.
So yeah, I would not be surprised if the Bills miss the playoffs this year. And they're not going to have to do a hard reset, but they're going to have to kind of maybe take a couple years off of competing for a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And kind of do a soft reset where you get rid of some of the guys, continue to try and give pieces to Josh Allen
yeah.
and rebuild this defense. But yeah, they're not going to be in that boat this year with all
yeah.
the losses they've had to take.
Not in a sense of a full rebuild, but I mean, these guys with like super big contracts are still paying out a ton of money to people that just aren't, that don't deserve the money at the end of the day, where this money could be used for so many different things, where like maybe re-signing some of these guys or, you know, whatever it is. Like you've mentioned Von Miller, like that dude is, he's good for like two games a year where he gets like two sacks and you're like, oh, it's Von Miller's back. And then it's like, he disappears for like 7 weeks and then he gets three sacks and you're like, Von Miller's back. And then it's,
then he's on IR.
And he's like, he's like 40 years old, dude. Like he, you know, it's just like, it's his time. In the NFL terms, it's his time to, you know, not be paid hundreds of millions of dollars or whatever the case is, you know, it's like, whatever. But yeah, I mean, trust me, biggest Keon Coleman guy over here, have been since he, you know, signed MSU, you know, he transferred, but he's a Spartan dog, you know, for life. So it's my guy. I've been saying it for years. He's going to be catching touchdowns on Sundays. It's just, obviously he's a rookie and he is going to probably have to take a step because he's not the fastest. He might not be ready to produce at a pro level and we'll see. I mean, losing Diggs, I mean, they add Curtis Samuel. I mean, that doesn't do anything. You know, like losing Tre'Davious White, losing Jordan Poyer, losing Gabe Davis. Like, just too many losses to outweigh the gains, like we talked about. And, like, even where, like, they're overshadowed. Like, we just talked about with the Panthers, I would say. They're filling these spots, but look at who you're losing in those spots, you know? So, yeah, it's – especially with AFC East being a tough division now, which is – if you were to go back 10 years, it's kind of funny to think about how it's made a full, you know, 360 where the Patriots are on the bottom and then the other three teams are actually contenders every year is interesting. And I think that the Bills, I mean, they have to play these teams twice a year, so they could get in trouble and they could be non-contenders for, like you said, a couple of years.
Yeah. Well, Tyler, that's all the time we have today. You know, everyone at home, Feel free in the comments, share which teams you think improved the most, which teams you think got
Let us know.
The biggest step back. Be sure to like, comment, subscribe, share with your friends if you feel so inclined.
Yes, follow our social account on Twitter.
Yeah, we have a Twitter.
At Knowing Ball Pod. Throw us a follow.
Yeah.
Subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
We're trying to add, I'm gonna talk to Thomas after this. We're gonna try and add it to Apple Podcasts too here shortly. So we're gonna get working on that so you don't have to watch on YouTube. But in the meantime, please like, comment, and subscribe. It would be great and appreciated.
And we will see you in the next one. Adios.
Peace.